it's jolly good stuff, that. There's something I really like about English light music. It's something so unhip about it. It's something which all of that hoary, bearded rock and roll generation a bit older than me, the pre-punks, they've got a kind of an allergy to it, which is why I play it. I love it. I think it's big. I think it's clever. The next thing I'm going to play you is Twinkle's lost album. This is called Michael Hanna. Twinkle, who I just think was... Well, I think actually I was a little bit in love with her, really. That's all. And she was let down by a bloke, a pretty boy called Michael Hanna, a model who she fritted a lot of money on. One day he died in a crash. He was a male model. He died in a plane crash in France about 1974 or 75, I think, along with a few other models. And it kind of broke her up. She eventually married the... I don't know, not the milk tray man, I think it was. And she lived happily and had two kids, so far as I know. And she died last year, 2015, in the Isle of Wight, at the comparatively young age of 67. And I thought about her a lot, really. I just think alone of all those girl singers of the 60s, the Dusties and the Sillas, however elevated they may be, and I like them too, Twinkle was the one who wrote her own songs. And I liked her voice too. There was something very slightly, flawed about it, you say. And that is the bit that I really like. Judge for yourself. This is Michael Hanna by Twinkle. Another thing about Twinkle is that it had got to the point where I'd become so fascinated with her output and general. Well, she disappeared. She retired about 2 years after beginning. So she retired in 1967. And although she did music and did a few theme tunes and stuff like that, she wasn't really heard of much after that. And at some point, getting up to the point before she died, I was thinking, I want to find out where she is and go down and interview her. You know, some flimsy excuse, but anything. I want to find out more about this woman and what she's doing and why she's, you know, not songwriting anymore. And I didn't know she'd been ill for 5 years. But while I was dithering around thinking about this, how do I get in touch with Twinkle? Because I could probably do it, or I could have done it if I wanted to. I didn't. And then somebody said, she's dead. And I thought it would be some kind of a joke or something, but no, she died, and I never got to find out. So, with that in mind, let's listen to some family. Very early family. This is Mellowing Grey. Mellowing Grey, I think it is, from Music in a Doll's House. And I hope you enjoyed that. That was Family with Mellowing Grey from Music in a Doll's House, their first album, which is about 1967, I think. I think Captain Sensible quite likes Family. We never discussed it, but, you know, he's a big prog rocker, so old Sensible, founding father of punk. If you're listening, are you listening, Captain? I hope we've got some other treats for you. Not least, I've been listening to Farm Shop. I decided in the early days of Radio Wivenhoe, since seven listeners couldn't be wrong, that what we needed was a mini soap opera and that I would host it on my 2-hour Thursday evening show. I then had to write it, script it, do all the voices, do the music. And you may imagine Martin Newell left in charge of a mini soap opera for a small internet radio station that was just getting going. And we got Farm Shop. And this is episode 9. And I like it so much now. I think I like it more than when I was working on it. I'm seriously considering starting it again, but I'll let you be the judge of that. This is Farm Shop, episode 9. So our local councillor, I listened to her for about 2 hours. She was going on about saving the planet, riding bikes, being responsible. You know, the importance of just reclaiming our dignity, our ethics. Fair enough. So after a while I said, look, we could hire a car. I know this hotel in Cromer. It's about £150 a night, but they're really nice rooms, and they make great steak sandwiches. Bottle of Remy, she said, yeah, all right, go on then. Have you ever been really loved?
Betty!
Hello, Lavinia. More potatoes?
Well, no, actually. Sir Martin telephoned from up north. He's not coming back tonight. He's been delayed for another day while they do some final adjustments to that aeroplane he's buying.
What? That Messerschmitt 109? Ted was asking about that the other day. He says it weren't a patch on the Spitfire. I said that I quite liked the 262.
Oh, yes, the jet. But they didn't bring them out till quite late on in the war, did they?
Well, that's what I told Ted. If they had, we'd all have been speaking German by now, which I think would have been no bad thing.
Oh, really?
Well, no. I think them Germans looked ever so smart in them uniforms and boots. I wouldn't have said no to one. All that white blonde hair and piercing blue eyes and a lightly muscled body. You could just imagine one pounding away at you while you was bit...
Yes, quite. Well, anyway, moving swiftly on, since Sir Nartin's not here tonight, I'd like to buy some organic yoghurt and some Californian fruit salad mix, please. Good gracious. That's the Elmstead Market creature, isn't it?
Alan, you mean? Lovely man. Must be his week off again. Yoo-hoo!
Bernard, we thought it was Alan.
What? The Elmstead Market creature? He's outside right now admiring your new lamps. He seems like a really nice guy.
And how's your musical production going, Bernard?
Oh, my pantomime. It's a combination of two pantomimes, actually. I was gonna call it Dick in Boots, but your parish council had some problem with it. The thing is, I still need a cast. Maybe I'll just put on my bikini and my construction worker safety helmet, then slink seductively down by Taylor Wimpy there and say, "Yoo-hoo, Mr. Building Site Foreman, anybody here want their quantity surveying?"
It looks like Alan's not coming in, Betty.
Oh, no, he doesn't sometimes. He just has a bit of a wander around the sheet. I think, having come from an inner city sort of place, it calms him down a bit, looking at the lambs as they grow up. Sometimes he plays a game with them, where he runs after them, with all them thundering off down the field. It's wonderful to see.
Yes, of course. Anyway, hey-ho, things to do. I expect you'll see Sir Nartin before I do. He's arranged with Ted to land the new plane in your field there tomorrow afternoon. I've got to come and pick him up. So, see you soon then. Bye, Bernard.
Bye. Bye-bye, Lavinia.
Bye, Alan.
Don't miss next week's final gripping episode of Farm Shop. Episode 10, The War on Terraline. Be very afraid. No, Marcia, no more, no more.
Well, what do you think? Should we get a second series? If you were a BBC controller or controller of other radio stations do exist, would you commission another series of Farm Shop based on that?
In them early pioneering days of local radio, if a man had something to say to his local radio station, why, he'd saddle up his horse, pack up some provisions, then say goodbye to his loved ones or his livestock, whichever was dearest to him, and he'd have to ride maybe 2 or 3 days just so's he could step down off his horse at the end of the ride and say to the DJ, "Mister, I didn't like that Burt Camford record ye just played."
When I was doing Mule TV, which I did while I was recovering from eye operations and various other stuff, that's what guys do when they're recuperating. What are you going to do? You need to rest more. You need to get your eyes better. You need to get all sorts of other things better. What are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to make an internet TV series. And in the middle of it all, one of the things that didn't get used was a German electropop duo called Arts und Krafts, who had this one single called Jetzt wir haben Automaten, which means now we have machines, but it actually sounds like Jetzt wir haben Automaten. Listen for yourself.
I wake up each morning in a kind of a vacuum. My silicone mother is cleaning my room. I inject my breakfast with a clear plastic tube. Then I travel to work in a blue metal cube. And everything's shiny and everything's new. My girlfriend's called Vonda, a blonde series 2. The day that I chose her from off the top shelf, the android assistant unwrapped her himself. Yet they have no tomato, they have no tomato today. Now they all have machines and yet nothing to say.
No podcast would be complete without an entry from my learned colleague, Mr. Kimberly Rue of Cambridge, who released a little CD in much the same style as I release CDs. And he'd gone over the Ridgeway, walking over it, cycling over it, whatever, and written songs about all different aspects of it. This is one of my favourites. It's a bit rock and roll. It's bloody good guitar work, actually. This is London Luton. While recuperating from all the various things that were wrong with me a couple of years ago, I bought some Her Magic camera and she learned how to use it. And I decided what the world needed was a new Morrissey song, but I couldn't get in touch with Morrissey. He'd have probably been too busy anyway. So I wrote this song by a pop singer called Mossy, and it's called The Luxury of Misery.
Oh, the luxury of misery is something that I've always had in space. Always having space. From the stale bowl of cornflakes, which is my life, to the flatness of my happy shop of lemonades. If I were flattened by a corporation boss in a rhythm chart, then nobody would notice that I'd been run over. Ah, but that will never happen, Salford again, oh, no, no, because it's been pedestrianised by the BBC. Oh, luxury of misery. Oh, cover my face. The luxury of misery.
And now it's time for the time travel news with Lee Ann Bobby McGee.
We're getting reports coming in of a Royal Mail post chase that's broken an axle in the Rotherhithe Tunnel. That's been slowing things down during the late Georgian period. But over at Westminster Bridge, time's been flowing well in both directions, so we're not expecting any hold-ups on that side of the river. Further north, time's still moving very slowly in a backwards
direction because of the Jarrow marches
heading south on the A1.
This has been compounded by late running work on Hadrian's Wall, slowing down northbound traffic the other way. There's a major tailback in North Yorkshire at Marston Moor, where a civil war battle's just finished. We've had reports of defeated Royalist cavalry holding up both lanes of the A59 York Road. Travellers anywhere near 1642, therefore, are advised to double back and take the A1 just past the dissolution of the monasteries. There's a diversion at Evesham just after the Black Death. On the railways, Eastern Region are telling us that there are slight delays into Liverpool Street. This has been caused by a giant raven which has pulled down some overheads between Stratford John's and Forest Gump. Engineers are working on it. Okay? And that's all the time travel news from me, Lee Ann Bobby McGee. I'll be back in half an hour, or forwards in 2 days, depending upon when you are.
And what better after that type of confusion than to listen to Mr. Ray Starita and his orchestra from 1933 singing The Flies Crawled Up the Window.
Have to do. They went up by the thousand and came down two by two. The flies crawled up the window. They said, we love to roam. So once more up the window and then we'll all go home.
In his sight.
They started crawling sideways.
And they got disqualified.
Sunshine and in rain, they do not seek for pleasure, they much prefer the pain. And if those flies annoy you, then here's what I advise: just don't have any windows, and then you'll have no flies.
Thank you.
Now, this next track, I'm not sure whether we should be playing it at all, but it's by my learned colleague, James Hunter, who is great, actually. I mean, he's won awards in America. He's an R&B musician. Not the type of music that I ever really get involved in, more my brother's type of stuff. But I've known James, Jim, as Wilf, Howlin' Wilf. He was Howlin' Wilf when he started out in Colchester about 1980. We share a sense of humour. He could probably double as a comedian if he wanted to. And we've known each other a long time, and occasionally he sends me tracks. And this is from his new album. I'm not even sure if it's out. I'm not even sure if I should be playing it yet. It's completely good. You should listen to this.
No more.
That was This Is Where We Come In by James Hunter, his band, or Howlin' Wolf, as I used to know him. Okay. Good, wasn't it? So this is about all for now. I thought we'd make the podcast as an experiment, and I really have done it, you know, by myself. There's been a lot of swearing, getting the tracks together and welding it together. In fact, I'm still doing it now, even as we speak. But if it works, I'm sure we can get it better. I mean, I've knocked it up in a spare afternoon. And I'm good at this stuff, but the amount of cock-ups there's been, you wouldn't think so. So, you know, write in. Other people who've brought it to you may have got this through the website, in which case you have to thank Paul Wilkinson, Paula Webster, for it. And if you've heard it through Soft Bodies, you can thank Johnny Vertigan, John Mackay, for this. I hope you've enjoyed it.